And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
Gas control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome in to the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Hey, not much, Shane. We just, you know, our favorite guy in the world, unfortunately, does not coach in the SEC, but this guy's just too damn good not to share. Mike Leach wants a damn 64-team playoff, something like that. Shane shared this video with me. I had to share it with you guys. We're in the playoff era. We got the teams, obviously. But here's what old Mike Leach thinks about the whole college football playoff. And, of course, under his system that he proposes, he'd finally make one. But here's what the old Pirate coach had to say.
Then college football says they scratch their head and they give a really befuddled, mixed-up look. And they get a really screwy expression on their face. Like, well, how can that possibly be? I mean, how can we do that? I mean, how is it possible that you could actually have a playoff format in college football? Well, gee, I don't know. Let's start with, we can go down to the local city park, and I'll bet you somebody that handles youth football could tell you how to do something like that. Well, that's too low of a scale. Let's move it up a little bit. Okay, how about high school from a major state? Let's say Texas, Florida, or California. Let's see how they do it. Okay, let's see. These guys, you know, they win a certain number of games. They have a qualification. Okay, now, boom, they're in the playoffs. But they don't have just two or four teams or something. Hell no, because they want everybody to have fun and enjoy this playoff system. So they have 16 or 32 or 64 or something like that. Okay, so then they play each other, and everybody's on the edge of their seat going to wait and see if this team's going to beat that team or going to beat the other team. And so then, in the end, there's occasionally a debate. If only this team hadn't lost to that team in this round, then this team could have won the whole thing, and that's perhaps true. But the thing that is indisputable is that at the end of the gauntlet, this team came out on number one, and there's no debate whatsoever who's state champion. Then you can go to Division III. Let's see, how do they do it? Oh, they do it the exact same way. Okay, now the suspense is really starting to get thick. Because, you know, Division II might do it differently. No, in fact, they don't. They do it exactly, boys and girls, like Division III does. And then now they've changed the initials, because in this era of political correctness, they love to change initials and make it proper to say things one way instead of another. And I forget what the initials is.
All right, Shane, the most entertaining, an interesting coach, maybe in college football history. What do you think about his thoughts on expanding the playoffs like they do in the other divisions?
Oh, man, I love expansion. I love the talk of it, and I love playoffs, and I think that's what I think we need to be there. But usually the people that are making the most noise about the playoffs are the ones that got left out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Washington's one of them. And I just think that, you know, eight would be a good number, somewhere around there. You know, to expand it and get four was great, but I don't know. It just seems like that 6-8 number, it would be, you know, clear cut who's the favorite.
Well, Shane, we should note that Bill Hancock, he's the executive director of the College Football Playoff, he came out on Sunday and said there's no momentum to expand it. I don't know how truthful he's being, but because in my opinion, you know, say they were going to move it to 6 or 8 or whatever, I think fans would just be like, well, why in the hell are we staying at 4? Because it's in the contract, you know, like just fucking do mm-hmm. it. I think that would be the opinion, but, you know, the Big Ten's been left out. I think it's 3 years now out of the three out of the five, and their commissioners come out and said he still continues to support it. So he's one of the most, his name is Jim Delaney. He's one of the most powerful men in college football. So, you know, when you start to hear stuff like that, it, you know, again, I don't know if he's being honest. Maybe he's just, you know, being a good sport or what have you, or just being, just going along with the contract, but doesn't seem to be a ton of momentum there. But I did see that old James Franklin, I don't know if you saw this, Shane, but he came out, I believe this was on Monday, and he was kind of bitching about how the Big Ten plays nine conference games, and he just noted that, you know, basically ACC, SEC, they continue to play eight. He wasn't necessarily complaining about that. He was just saying, why in the hell are we beating our heads against the wall playing nine if they're just going to play eight? Like, he basically said, those conferences are playing it smart, and we're just being stupid, and we keep missing.
I mean, I'd be thinking the same thing. If, I mean, you watch a team like Alabama and Citadel play while you're playing another tough ball club in your conference, then, yeah, I mean, I would be thinking that myself. But I honestly think the ACC and the SEC need to step up their game and move to a 9 or even a 10-game schedule, just because I just think that's the way it should be. And then if we – and we're going down a rabbit hole, Mike, but if we opened up this playoffs where the SEC championship, you know, whoever wins the SEC championship automatically gets a bid to the playoffs, and any Power 5 automatically gets a spot in the playoffs, then – when you go to a 9 or 10 game, nobody gets left out. You know, if you get beat up in your conference, you still have a chance to be a national champ. So that's the only, like, if I want to see one, like, if we're going to increase the games that we play in the SEC, I want to see more teams in the playoffs, because the playing 10 SEC teams is a lot different than playing 10 Big Ten teams.
Damn, Shane, I can tell you're an NFL fan. You want 16-game playoff, 20-game SEC schedule. I mean, these guys aren't damn robots, Shane. I mean, I think going through this damn – when's the last time, you know, you're a big Tennessee guy, they can't stay damn healthy. I mean, you get destroyed playing eight SEC games. I don't think there's – and it's to their advantage to play eight, because that's – you know, they're consistently in the college football playoff every damn year. I don't know. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but it's just not to their benefit, and there's basically no reason to do it aside from – more entertaining games. And, you know, it is a shame teams like Texas A&M and Georgia never damn meet. I don't even know why they're in the same conference if they never play. But aside from that, I don't know. Yeah, it's just smart business.
Yeah, but how can you say? I mean, if you're looking at a 12-game season, mm-hmm. period, 12 teams, let's say right now we're playing eight and then four typically cupcake teams. Every now and then you throw in a big one or something like that. But from a Power 5 conference anyway. I mean, you still can get hurt. We just talked about this yesterday with South Carolina. You know, they lost a lineman not playing, you know, Vanderbilt. They were playing a cupcake team. So injuries happen regardless of who's on the other side. I don't understand why people are so, I don't know, gung-ho that more injuries happen when you're playing against SEC teams as opposed to just another team. Unless you're factoring in maybe they're not going to be in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, you know, that would be something.
I think that's it. They're typically supposed to be less competitive. And that's what our boy Hugh, that's what he was complaining about. I mean, that was a damn blowout, Akron. Get mm-hmm. your players out that are key players, because there's no sense in playing them. They're just going to get hurt. You know, if that was, you know, Alabama, South Carolina was playing, there's no chance in hell their guys are getting any rest. So, and that's why Alabama's playing Citadel, and that's why Auburn's playing Liberty, because they know no damn starters are going to play past the second quarter, ideally, unless the Citadel's tied you up at the half. But
right.
I mean, I think that's the whole point of it.
Well, the Big Ten has now went five bowl. What you're saying is they went five playoffs, uh-huh. and three of them they've not had a contender in it, right?
Correct.
So, I mean, that's what it's going to take. I mean, if that happened to the SEC, let's say Bama dropped a couple during the season, and let's say the SEC got left out. I mean, you had an undefeated Pac team. You had an undefeated, you know, Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
You got an undefeated ACC. and you've got one loss team in the Big Ten, and then we got two losses in the SEC. I mean, it could happen. Crazier things have happened in college football. So
yeah. What
happens when an SEC team gets left out of the playoff?
They'll expand it immediately.
Exactly. It's going to happen. So let's not fight it. Let's just get ahead of it.
All right, Shane. So a topic everybody wants to hit on this time of year, the damn coaching carousel spinning out of control. Old Chip Lindsey, the guy I was pretty dead set Tennessee was going to hire this guy. I'm not sure, what exactly happened here, but old Chip is leaving Auburn. Offensive coordinator, he's going to Kansas to work for damn Les Miles. What in the hell do you make of this, Shane? Auburn losing a coordinator to Kansas. I never thought that those words would come out of my mouth.
Damn, Les is already recruiting, son. good for him, man. I mean, Kansas, I don't know anything about Kansas, except that's usually where coaches go to die, but Les is—he's making some bold moves already. He's mixing things up, and which makes me believe that if he can get that thing going here in a year or two, who knows? Les may be back in the SEC, brother. He ain't staying in Kansas, I'll tell you that right now. But he's got him some recruiters on that staff already, and the first thing you do is you recruit coaches, and he went after somebody I thought that Tennessee was going to hire. I mean, what kind of sales pitch was given? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that Chip Lindsey, I don't think, is being given freedom to run the offense the way he sees fit. You know, we've seen that. We've heard that from Jarrett Stidham. You know, he's not being allowed to do the things that he's been promised he could do. He's not progressing in the offense. How much is that Chip Lindsey's fault? How much is that Gus Malzahn? I think it mostly had to do with Malzahn. And we noted this after every damn Auburn game. You know, he's committed to the run. We got to run. We do well when we run. Well, hell, dumbass, when you don't have a running back and your offensive line can't run block, you should probably start throwing the ball. But for whatever reason, they didn't do it. So, I don't know. It's just a messy situation down there at Auburn. And I think it could get a little bit worse here, Shane, because obviously the strong side of the ball right now down on the plains is the defense. And I've heard Kevin Steele's name mentioned at a couple head coaching job positions. Obviously, he interviewed for the Tennessee job last year, nearly got one. And I've heard Charlotte, who tried to hire Mike Houston, but apparently they offered him the job, and then he reneged, and now he's ECU's coach. So that's a name to watch, Shane. If Kevin Steele were to leave Auburn because of the messy situation and Gus Malzahn's having to replace two coordinators, yeah. I don't know, the sinking ship may not even be, an appropriate word to use there.
And what a tough pitch. I mean, I don't know if he's even got the green light to hire coordinators to replace, but I mean, who's wanting to go there? Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't. I mean, right now it is a dumpster fire, and I don't want to get anywhere near that. I'd rather stick wherever I'm at, for out another year, and then maybe looking if I'm dead set on Auburn. But I don't know. They're in bad shape down there, brother.
Another name that I've heard, Shane, that's trying to get a head coaching job, Todd Grantham, Florida's defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think he did a hell of a job there for Mississippi State, turned them around. I think he did another great job there for Florida this year. Obviously, there was a number of games that, the offense wasn't really working. You look at games like Mississippi State, and I thought LSU, they did a hell of a job. Tennessee, obviously. And he interviewed for the Mississippi State job when Dan Mullen left for Florida. He didn't get it, so he went with Mullen. That's one to watch, Shane. I think Todd Grantham, I don't know if he's going to get a job, but to my knowledge, he's never been a head coach. But he's got NFL experience. He's a longtime SEC defensive coordinator. That's another name to watch. Do you think that would be a big loss for the Gators?
I think so. I mean, I don't think you realize just how important he was for that team and their development, because Florida lost a lot of talent, and it seemed like they didn't miss a step. Florida was always known for their defense, and I honestly thought this year they would struggle. And that was, if it weren't for their defense, they wouldn't have near as many victories as they've had this year. So Yeah, he's a hell of a coach. And so where is he talking? Is there any landing spots for him potentially?
Well, I just heard there's a number of head coaching positions that he's interested in. You got to be careful whenever you hear stuff like this because you never know if it's the agent. But, you know, there was some people saying that Dan Mullen maybe is not too happy with him for whatever reason. But I don't know if I believe that because, like I said, that he completely turned around Mississippi State's defense the year they were there. They went from one of the worst damn units I've ever seen to a really competitive one. And then he went to Florida and did it immediately once again. So this guy's a hell of a coach. I know Georgia fans think he sucks. They call him Third and Grantham and all that. But, I mean, you're talking back-to-back years, taking over units that are not good, and he's turning them into, you know, he's maybe a little overly aggressive, but, hell, I think that's what fans want. They want an aggressive defense, and if you get beat being too aggressive on defense, I think 9 times out of 10 you'll take that over just a damn Third and Chavis, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's, you know, just because we're bouncing around here, let me just read these real quick, and you tell me. So Georgia, going down the list here, Georgia has lost their defensive coordinator. Have they lost anybody else that you know of?
No, they have not lost any other assistants at this time.
Okay. Is there any talk about replacing Mail?
Yeah, they've got the inside linebacker coach. His name escapes me at the moment, but he's a very young guy. I think he's like 34 years old or something.
Mm-hmm.
But he's credited for being the one that kind of really helped Roquan Smith along.
Okay.
That's a guy. I think his name's Glenn Sherman or something like that. I think that's a guy where other teams, I've heard Ole Miss may even try to hire him as a defensive coordinator. So obviously if Georgia were to offer him that, that's an easy choice. So
yeah.
Kirby Smart may, you know, I don't know how much that's Mel Tucker's defense, how much I think that's obviously Kirby Smart's got his hands deep into that. So you maybe can hire a guy like that that's never been a coordinator because you got a head coach that's such a good defensive coach. You can kind of help him along. I don't know if you want him making the defensive calls, but if they're comfortable with it, that may be one to where they either have to give it to him or they may lose him to another school.
It kind of reminds me of, honestly, Alabama. It seems like Kirby could do something like that, just hire internally. I mean, especially on the defense side because he's got so many hands involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like that would be an easier transition. So that it on Georgia. Florida, we're talking possibly the defensive coordinator. That's it and on their staff, correct? I mean, like, the big ones, defensive, offensive, head coach.
Yeah, because Dan Mullen is really running the damn thing there on offense. So he's got two, they're called co-offensive coordinators,
mm-hmm.
and neither one of them calls a damn play. So I don't know why they got two of them. But he's been with those guys for 8 or 9 years, dating back to his Mississippi State days. So I think they're pretty tied to him.
Okay, cool. Kentucky, anything off the...
You know what? Their defensive coordinator, he's a guy by the name of Matt House, where, you know, Kentucky, that's an interesting one, Shane, because Kentucky's defense has really not been that good until this year. I mean, they were phenomenal this year. They were really tough. So you got to wonder, I believe Matt House has been there 2 years as the coordinator. How much is that of him? How much of that is Mark Stoops? You know, obviously Mark Stoops has been there a number of years and never really had a great defense until this year, but that's a lot of players that have been in the program for a long time. You know, Josh Allen's damn outstanding. He may be a top 10 pick, top 5 pick, maybe even.
Yeah.
So that's one I could see. You know, a lot of people say Mark Stoops could leave. I don't see it because of his contract and just the security he's got there. But if he were to lose an assistant, maybe that Matt House would be one. And the offensive coordinator, Eddie Grant, a lot of fans are not happy with him, but I don't know. I like what he's done there. I think he's kind of – they got one receiver. They got a questionable quarterback who, once they kind of figured out how to play him, it really shut down the offense. But I think that had more to do with just the limitations of, you know, we've seen that all across the SEC. If you don't have a quarterback that can, that's too one-dimensional, especially that all can do mainly is run, that really halts your offense. So I like what Eddie Grant's doing, and I think they'd be wise to stick with him, really help Terry, because Terry Wilson's going to have to carry the load next year. And if you're asking him to learn an entirely new offense, I think that could be a major issue.
Yeah. Oh, good stuff, man. What about Mizzou?
Old Derek Dooley. Yeah. I don't think if he could get another job, I think he'd take it. But, you know, that's an interesting one. I think he's going to stay there, and I think he needs to prove what he can do without Drew Locke.
And no chance with Odom moving?
No. I mean, this is a guy, he's got one ranked win, Shane. I mean, yes, he's, you know, a great close to this year, great close to last year, but I mean, he's never had a winning record in the SEC. I mean, I'm not saying he's a bad coach, but he's not a great coach. He's kind of still in that wait and see mood for me. I think he's doing a really good job at Missouri, but I don't think he's doing well enough to take a huge step up by any means.
Okay. Good stuff, man. South Carolina. Muschamp hired his buddy. Did it work out? Are they going to keep him around for another year?
Well, you know, what I'm hearing is Brian McLennan, he's getting a lot of interest in head coaching positions. So if he goes anywhere, and he may, I mean, I think Jake Bentley is going to return. I know there's some speculation he may leave, but I don't even think he's that good of a prospect because he doesn't really progress yet. I mean, he has flashes, but that's about it. They've got a lot of good receivers there. They're losing Debo, who just announced that he is going to be sitting out the bowl game. But
yeah.
Aside from Debo, they've got some good playmakers returning. He may be wise to come back for one more year and show, you know, because that offense really started to click towards the end of the year. If he can carry that over to next year, I think he could certainly parlay that into another job. But if he's offered a head coaching job and it's a good one, I know his name was mentioned with ECU. If he gets a job like that, I think he's got to take it now. But I just don't know if that's something that is, you know, them just throwing it out there. I don't know. But I think it would almost be wise for him to come back. He'll have a lot of experience returning. And if he can carry over that momentum that they had at the tail end, he could be looking at a really good job.
I like it. What about Vandy? Colorado job got taken, apparently. And is Mason still looking?
I think so, Shane, because obviously the AD there is changing over. So there's a lot of uncertainty. And just based on his comments, it just seems like he's kind of frustrated with the leadership there and just the support level of Vanderbilt. Now, you know, that's one thing, but he also has been there for so long. You know, he's kind of got his program implemented.
Mm-hmm.
How will they handle losing Kyle Shermer? That's a big task, I think. He brought his buddy from Stanford to be the defensive coordinator this year. So I don't know. I think if he were to leave, he'd probably take the defensive coordinator with him, which would be a tough blow there for Vanderbilt. But I don't know. I thought that Colorado job would be perfect for him. Yeah. Obviously, it looks like they're going with Mel Tucker. I'm not sure what other jobs are out there. Maybe like an Oregon State. Something I think like a program like that, but then again, it is a Power Five job, but you're going to another one that doesn't have a ton of resources, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I think the perfect, I don't know if they'd even go this route, but if Mike Leach were to leave Washington State,
yeah,
I would think a job like that would be great for Derek Mason.
Okay, yeah, I like it, man. I'd like to see him go some. I'd like to see him stay kind of close. You know, the Georgia Tech job's still open, right? Somewhere in the ACC, I think that would be a good spot for him.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, he has ties down here already, and I just think, you know, they're not gonna. I mean, they're going off this triple option. They're not gonna want to come out, I wouldn't imagine, with five wide spread. They got to work with what they got recruited down there, so. You know, you bring in a coach that can work with a balanced offense, I think that could really work out down there. So that's kind of a spot I would like to see him settle in. But Tennessee. I'm hearing a lot of chatter, man. I get on Twitter late today, and it feels like just Tennessee Twitter has exploded. I don't know if we've hired or anything, but I hear a lot of Hugh Freeze. I hear a lot of people upset. Lindsey's gone. I mean, what are we looking at here for an offensive coordinator?
Well, Shane, I think you got to hope that they go all in here on Dan Enos.
I mean, okay.
I said that's a guy that they should hire. I'm still, you know, I still don't know if they can get him. But, hell, if Mike Locksley is fucking around with the Maryland, I don't think he's going to get the Maryland job because he's just, I'm not buying his stock. I don't think he's got one of the worst head coaching track records of all time.
Yeah.
Now, how impressed will people be with Alabama's offense? I mean, I think some people will get duped in by those numbers. And, of course, they've been spectacular. But how much, I always lean towards that's more of a product of the players than the coaching staff. And I don't know, I'm just not buying that it's Mike Locksley. I think it's all those elite players. Tua looking like damn Aaron Rodgers out there. Mm-hmm. He's got four or five elite receivers. He never gets touched until the last couple games here. He's got an elite O-line. Three running backs are going to be in the NFL. I mean, it'd go on and on. And I still don't think they've played that many good defenses. They've played about two good defenses. So I don't know. I think it's a product of all that more than Locksley. So if he keeps staying there at Alabama, I just think you fucking you offer it to Dan Enos if you're Jeremy Pruitt. He may want to wait it out. I don't know how those conversations go if you really want to like put pressure on a guy, but just whatever he's getting paid, just fucking double it, triple it.
Yeah.
Do what you gotta do because this is a guy that's known as an elite quarterback coach. He's running, I don't want to say something similar to Tyson Helton, but it's just, you know, it's not completely different. It's more that pro style, but, you know, that doesn't mean, you know, they ran the ball like hell at Arkansas. He developed quarterbacks, developed these Alabama quarterbacks. That's what you want from an offensive coordinator if you're a defensive guy, someone you can put. You don't have to worry about the quarterback. You don't have to worry about a guy that knows what he's doing to call plays. And yes, it's going to be some trial and error just because you're still going to have a struggling offensive line. You're still kind of lacking for some playmakers at receiver at Tennessee. But if you got a guy that knows what he's doing with the quarterback position and the play calling, I mean, that would just go – I think Tennessee will be set right there. And that's still – I don't know if they can get him, like I said, but you just – I don't think you can look at it like that. You can't look at someone and say, well, I don't know if we can get him. You just got to fucking put all your chips on the table and say, you know, here's –
We want you.
They were just paying Todd Helton $1.2 million. I think – Enos, I don't even think he's making half that. I think he's making like $300,000.
Oh wow!
Say, how would you like a million added to that? You know, that's they need to do that tonight, and I think they get it done.
Well, you know, I'm hearing. I'm. This is weird. I see a lot of Hugh Freeze talk. A lot of Hugh Freeze talk. And the longer that I see this, and the more opportunities they keep saying that he's offered, it makes me believe that. That we don't want him because it feels like if we wanted Hugh Freeze, we'd already have him. Don't you think?
I don't think anybody wants Hugh Freeze, Shane. And that there's a lot of bullshit being put out there. Florida State wants Hugh Freeze. Tennessee wants Hugh Freeze. Auburn wants Hugh Freeze. I'm hearing fucking Liberty wants Hugh Freeze. And we heard, you know, a week ago, Western Kentucky wanted Hugh Freeze. This is his people. This is Jimmy Sexton putting his name out there for every damn job. And I think because Hugh Freeze is such a big name, I understand people look at the records and, oh my God, he beat Alabama and he did this, he did that. Let's go get his ass. It's a home run hire. But again, you're talking NCAA issues. You're talking hooker issues. You're talking scandalous recruiting, scandalous behavior at damn high school. I mean, this guy... He's a bad guy, you know, and I understand people get, you know, they get infatuated with results, but I mean, there's good coaches out there. They don't necessarily have to hire this guy. And if he was in such demand, if he's number one job, I mean, look at people out there, they're mocking it. Cole Kublik today is like, oh, Hugh Freeze is number one at six different schools. That's damn impressive. This guy doesn't have a fucking job. There's nothing holding it back. If he was number one at two schools, he'd be hired right now. If he's number one at all these damn schools, it's not like he's waiting for, you know, a $10 million offer. If he had a solid offer,
he'd take it.
I mean,
yeah.
But I think it's kind of a lot of bullshit. I'm not saying, you know, I don't want to discredit people that are reporting like Tennessee's meeting with them and talking with them. I'm sure they are, you know, but that's what a good coach does. You go and you meet with people and you see what they say. And a lot of times you ask them, who if it's not you, who's someone that you think is good? Because hell, that's kind of, I think, what Alabama was doing with old Hugh. They were picking his brain. They were trying to say, you know, if we can't hire you at coordinator, maybe we can get you on as an analyst. Like, you gotta open that dialogue. So just because they met doesn't mean he, you know, put a damn contract on the table and they're just waiting for old Hugh Freeze. I mean, I'm just not buying it.
Okay, good stuff, man. Well, we talked a lot about Alabama coaches with Tennessee, but so we got Enos. Let me ask you this. First off, let me ask you this. As a Green Bay Packer fan, is there any chance Saban goes to Green Bay? I mean, in 2005, I don't know if you knew this, but he had Alex Smith and Aaron Rodgers come in for a workout, and you know, he's watching both of them, and he liked Alex Smith better than Aaron Rodgers. So when I think they had like the second pick, and they picked Ronnie Brown and mm-hmm. from Auburn, and of course, you know the history of Nick Saban in the NFL. But I just kind of made a joke. Do you ever think that he wishes he could have it back and have another shot with this with Aaron Rodgers down there in Miami? So is there any chance that Saban leaves this year? For any job.
I mean, I think if he were to leave, it would have to be something like that. And I think Aaron Rodgers makes that job more attractive than mm-hmm. just about any other job, because what we've seen at the NFL level, you can turn over these rosters fairly quickly, and the elite teams that are constantly in the playoff discussion, Super Bowl discussion, are the ones with the quarterback.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I'm not saying Nick Saban's going to fucking jump at this job, but I think you're going to see a lot of good coaches want this job. And if Nick Saban ever wanted to jump in the NFL, I think this would be the job he would take, if that makes sense.
Man, could you imagine? I just, because he's such a perfectionist. Everybody, I mean, say what you want. The man is the greatest college football coach in history. But he's not the greatest coach in history, you know, and I think that weighs on his mind that he missed that opportunity and he didn't get a chance to win a Super Bowl and prove that he can win on a different in a different league. So but I don't know. He just comes across as a perfectionist. And I feel like there's a few things he wish he would have done different when he was down there in Miami. So, I mean, I think of a job like Green Bay or Dallas Cowboys, but like you make a great point. If you have Aaron Rodgers, you're in any game. So that seals up the biggest part of it. Now you build pieces around him, and if you know anything about Saban, he's a mastermind at building pieces around what your star athlete is. So and he's a hell of a defensive coach. So I don't know. I'm just curious if that was ever in play. But another question I want to have, is there any chance – because you know Bama doesn't want to give up on Enos. Is there a chance that if Locksley doesn't take this job, that he maybe promotes Enos to coordinator? Maybe co-coordinator or something?
Potentially, because I think he's got that high of an opinion of him. And I've even heard people suggest that it's Dan Enos running the damn show. I'm sure on game day that's not what he's doing, you know, but maybe he's integral in the game planning and setting up, you know, the plays that they're going to run in the red zone, the plays that they're going to run on third down. I can certainly see that. And, you know, just based on the analytics of Mike Locksley's career, I mean, again, it could be just the players, but these numbers are like astronomical compared to his 20-year coaching career. So either he just, you know, is drinking some damn miracle elixir, or Dan Enos is really instrumental in what they're doing right now at Alabama.
Yeah, that's good stuff. I'm looking up Locksley because I did I did do a little research at the start of the season on this cat, and he has struggled, man.
I think his record is like 5-23 or like some insanely bad. It's like terrible, his head coaching record.
Head coaching record at New Mexico, he went 1-11, 1-11, 0-4, got fired. And it says, you know, he stepped in as, I believe, an interim coach in Maryland, and he went 1-5 at Maryland. So do you think Maryland really wants this cat back, you know? So
they
had a chance to hire him, and they didn't in 2016. So I don't know. I'd pump the brakes, because when you've got a track record like that, it may be best that you hang out at a school like Alabama and just, you know, over a couple of years, you just build that resume, and the more distance you put between here and 2009, the more job offers that he may get. But I think you're right. I don't think Maryland hires this cat. Anything else on Bama?
Are we gonna do all 14 here, Shane?
Yes. You're on fire, man. We're almost there. We're almost there.
I mean, LSU. There's always a chance people leaving from Alabama staff just because of how damn successful they are, and people just want to try to capture it. But I have heard, I think he's the damn linebackers coach. I think his name's Pete Golding. That's another one that I've heard Ole Miss may be interested in, because he's used to coach at a school, Texas San Antonio. It's kind of a newer school. They were doing really well with him, and then he left, and they damn went off a cliff, Shane. So I think Nick Saban certainly saw something in him, and it's worked out. And they also have a receivers coach that is very, very well regarded. His name is Josh Gattis. He was Penn State's receiver coach for 2 years, I think.
Yeah.
And they did outstanding, and we've seen what those receivers have done this year. I mean, they're off the charts. And he's an elite recruiter, so I've heard he's another name to watch to maybe even go from wide receiver coach to a head coach somewhere at a lower level.
Oh, wow. Okay. Damn, you are on it, man. I appreciate you, Mike. We're going to jump to LSU real quick. Coach O is obviously not on the hot seat. Is there anybody on this staff that may be offense or defensive coordinator?
Well, I think it'll be interesting. The offensive coordinator, Ensminger.
Mm-hmm.
It just, you know, I think that guy got a lot of disrespect, and myself including. I didn't think he would be a good coordinator. I think it had been about 20 years since he coordinated in the SEC until this year. He was a high school coach like a couple years ago. He was a career tight end coach. But that guy, man, he drew up some hell of a game plans against, you know, Auburn and Georgia. Miami. I mean, he did a great job in a lot of these games. Texas A&M, I thought he did a good job in those overtimes. But you get blanked by Alabama. That's inexcusable. What they did against Florida, I thought was really bad. So they're just in a weird place where I don't think they really want to blow it up on offense, but would not be shocked if they make a change. And I don't even think that guy would mind. Like, I think he'd be fine being the tight ends coach again. I mean, it's just a weird, weird spot.
This is his buddy, right? This is Coach O's, you know, pal, isn't it?
It is, but, I mean, they made him the offensive coordinator when Coach O got the job as an interim.
Yeah.
And I think he was damn fine not being the offensive coordinator. He went back to tight ends. Now he's back to offensive coordinator. It's just a weird spot there, but I think he's done a good job, but I don't know. That shutout to Alabama is burned in my head. I just don't think they're ever going to get it completely done with this guy.
Yeah.
And Dave Aranda, who I think is the best defensive coordinator in the nation, I think there's a really good chance, Shane, that he gets some NFL looks as a defensive coordinator, because what we've seen at the NFL level, they're adopting a lot of these spread offense, you know, concepts.
Yeah.
And I don't think they know how to damn stop it. So what if they're going to hire these people that have college offense knowledge, I think they need to hire college-based defensive coordinators that know how to limit it. And he's a guy that on multiple occasions NFL teams have been interested in. I think he's such a great coach that I think the NFL is going to be in his future at some point.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah. Yeah, and I was curious, you know, because they made him, what, it was Canada last year, right, that they made him take as an offensive coordinator. I don't know if they made him take it, but.
Well, either they made him, Shane, or he hired him and he never researched his damn offense, which I don't know which one is worse.
Yeah, because that was a bad deal. And it just sounded like Coach O wanted somebody that he was comfortable with, a lot like Dan, you know, just bring his buddy with him and roll with this thing and rely on the defense, because the defense was lights out this year. They did. I mean, they kept them in a lot of ball games. So that'd be a huge blow if they lost him as a coordinator. Texas A&M, I know there was some tight end coach talk today.
Yes, sir. So they stole the tight end coach from Missouri, Shane. Missouri's got, you know, he's up for the Mackey Award, which is the tight end of the year. His name's, I can't say his damn last name. I just call him Albert O. But yeah. He's a hell of a tight end. So they got the guy that coached him up. And his name, Shane, there's not a more Texas coach name than this. Joe John Finley. And he obviously replaces, you know, the damn wild man, Brewster, that left to go coach with Mac Brown in North Carolina for some damn reason. But, you know, credit Jimbo for swooping in there and kind of making that hire pretty quickly and getting himself a tight end coach before even the early signing period. I think that, and he got it from an SEC foe.
Yeah. So that was big. Any other coaches leaving, coming in, or anything like that you've heard of?
Not down at A&M, no.
Oh. Okay. Well, let's dive on over to Mississippi State. I've heard some things on Stoop. What's going on there? Or Shoop, sorry.
Yeah. Bob Shoop, Shane. He might win the Broyles Award for the nation's top assistant coach. And I've heard speculation that he could be looking around. I know he tried to get a head coaching job when he was at Tennessee. And this, I think, would be a perfect time for him to move on. I mean, I know it's not ideal to go somewhere for a year and leave, but they're losing so much on that defense. Now, they'll have some good pieces coming back, but you got to figure that defense is going to take a step back. So yeah. Why not capitalize now? I really do think Mississippi State had the best defense in the nation. He's going to be a hot name for defensive coordinator positions, but I also think there's going to be some people giving him a look at head coaching. And I think he has some head coaching experience at like Division II, so it won't necessarily be his first time as a head coach.
Think he'll be heading north, or you think he'd take one of these jobs around here?
I think, you know, he's from Pittsburgh area. I think it kind of makes more sense that he'd go up there.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought. Well, that's good. I mean, that's what I'd be doing. Like you said, the cupboards, they're not bare next year, but they're definitely losing a few spots. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. Auburn, obviously, is Gus gone? I mean, you think that's a possibility? Do you think they got any coordinators by the time this thing's over? Who's gonna be coaching this bowl game? That's what I want to know.
I think old Gus. I think he sticks around. Yeah, and you know, if they lose to Purdue, God. Just the way recruiting works now, Shane. I don't think you can. You basically have to have a decision made on your head coach by this time. As crazy as that sounds, like you need to, because we're looking at 2 weeks from the early signing period.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they keep Gus Malzahn for at least another year. Just so much money there in the buyout. But like I noted there at the beginning, he could be looking for two new coordinators. He's obviously looking for an offensive coordinator now. Hugh Freeze, number one, apparently. I'm not really buying it. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see who wants to go down there, if he can get anyone to go down there, because not only is it a program on unsteady ground, but it, you know, the rumor is that he does not give his offensive coordinators freedom to do anything. So it's kind of like a double whammy. I'm not sure who would want to go there unless he may have to reach down to like the Division II level and bring up a guy that's just looking for some exposure.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it, man. Ole Miss, Coach Luke, I think he's safe, right? And who'd you think was going to be the defensive coordinator?
That name that I heard was Georgia inside linebacker coach.
Okay.
Glenn Schumann, I think his name is. But that's one to watch. I've also heard the UAB defensive coordinator, he was outstanding. That was kind of the unit that kind of led them. Watch out for that guy. And there's one other guy. His name escapes me right now, but you got to really be worried about their offensive coordinator leaving, Shane. Phil Longo, he's been interviewing. He interviewed at Texas State. He interviewed at UMass for head coaching positions. He's not gotten either one. I think he was Sam Houston State head coach, if I'm not mistaken, at the FCS level before he got this job.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he may be trying to get out of town before it kind of goes downhill, because I think Ole Miss is really going to struggle next year. You know, losing Te'Amu, losing a lot of those great receivers, losing some good linemen. I don't know. It's going to be a rough year, and there's speculation. You know, some of the fans are like fed up with Phil Longo. They had a top 10 offense this year. I can't imagine why in the hell they'd be pissed off at him, aside from the fact they not really doing much against elite SEC teams. But you'd think if you had one of the piss poor defenses in the nation, you'd want the guy that's leading you at a top 10 offense. But apparently they've grown tired of him. And I'll tell you what, Shane, if they run him off for some reason, they may as well run Matt Luke off right now, I think.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, Texas Tech. Nobody took that Texas Tech job yet, have they? Is that a possibility? I mean, it seems like that'd be...
No, someone, the Utah State coach took that.
Well, that'd be a good fit for him. Okay. Last but not least, I don't know if anybody's got fired in 1 year, but Arkansas, Gus, he's safe, right? He's out recruiting.
Oh, Chad Morris.
Oh, gosh, shit. I've been firing Gus for a long time now. Morris.
Yeah, old Chad. I think he's safe, Shane. I think he's safe for another year at the very least. He needs to show me something. I mean, the way he's recruiting, I think they're going to give him some time. I think they have to.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was pretty shitty this year, and if it's shitty again, I think then we start talking about, you know, what the hell's going on there. But I really don't think it's going to be as bad.
Okay. Well, that wraps up the carousel, Mike. I appreciate your work there.
Thanks for your contributions, Shane, of just saying the teams. That was helpful.
Hey, it's coaching season, and a lot of people want to know where these cats are at. And I mean, the real benefit having you on doing this pod is that you're an insider. You know every name from every coach, every player. So people want to know, what does Mike think is going to happen to the future of their program? So I appreciate you taking time to do that, because I was curious too. I mean, some of these, I had no clue that LSU may lose a defensive coordinator or Florida may lose a defensive coordinator. But now we know, brother.
Well, that's why they call it the silly season, Shane. I mean, these guys, and what's kind of sad now that it's the early signing period, I think you're going to see a lot of these guys move after they've signed the damn guys. So, I mean, it's kind of sad, but it's just kind of the way it is, you know, where I guess it's still part of their contract, still part of their job. They got to be out there recruiting.
Yeah.
And then once they get the signatures, then they leave. I hate to see that. I don't think that's right, but
no.
I mean, it is what it is.
So when is the signing deadline?
It is December. Let me make sure I got my dates here right. I believe it's the 17th. It's the 19th. So it's always on a Wednesday. And it's the 19th, 20th, and the 21st. So Wednesday through Friday, 2 weeks from now, prospects can sign at any point in that 72-hour window. And if they don't sign during that 72-hour window, then they have to wait until the traditional signing day, which will be the first Wednesday in February.
You know, I was curious how these national signing days would go being split like this.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like that we're going to, like, early signing day is going to be the big day. Right. Don't you think?
Oh, yeah. That's kind of what we saw last year. It seems like about 80% of the guys sign. And I think that tells you that, you know, these guys don't want to have to deal with this shit over Christmas and New Year's. Like,
mm-hmm.
Now, there's definitely, you know, every recruitment is different. But if you've been recruited, if you're an elite prospect and you've been recruited for 2, 3, sometimes 4 years, what's another month? You know, like, I think you just want to get it over with. get your visits in and everything and make your decision. And I think it's worked out well for everybody.
I like it.
Unless you hire a new coach, then you're kind of fucked.
So you think a lot of this is just being stalled until after signing day, don't you?
I do, yeah. And I mean, I hate to, you know, I know Tennessee fans on an hourly basis are agonizing over this, but wouldn't be shocked if it took that long to make an offensive coordinator hire. And you're going to see, you know, there's not anyone that comes to mind on Tennessee staff, but all across the staffs where you're going to see guys leave immediately after that signing period. So, and I'm not talking head coaches, but I'm talking assistants. It's usually not even coordinators, but sometimes it is. But it's usually position coaches, and a lot of times those are the big-time recruiters. So it's just kind of the reality of it.
Okay. Well, where do you want to go now, Mike?
The news I got here, Shane, this is kind of a big one, but Arkansas quarterback Cole Kelly announced he's leaving the program.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, he was kind of a mismatch there for what Chad Morris wanted to do. It was kind of obvious. He started the season as a starter but quickly lost the job to Ty Story and never really was able to do much in this new system.
Yeah.
But why? That could also be interesting, Shane. Tomorrow, it's old Chad Morris's birthday. You're trying to fire the guy. It's his damn birthday. And it's also the day that Kelly Bryant, the Clemson quarterback, is set to decide. And this is first reported by Pardon My Take podcast, they're the ones that broke Mike McCarthy getting fired. So sounds like they're into the breaking news business now. But they are reporting that Kelly Bryant will pick Arkansas. Thoughts on that, Shane?
Oh, wow. That surprises me. Mm-hmm. I thought something like, well, you know, maybe he was considering Auburn, and now that it's such a shit show down there, he doesn't want to do it. So
yeah, and he was at Auburn last weekend, and there's media saying that he's down to Auburn and Missouri to replace Drew Locke.
Yeah.
And so this kind of came out of the blue. I've been saying all along, I think the best place for him, if his main goal is just, you know, playing time in a mm-hmm. system that fits him, I think Arkansas is the best choice. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think you're right, man. I think it's that'd be the biggest pickup of a coach's offseason here. I mean, you talk about recruiting, you get that, and then, you know, you get some of these young kids. Who knows? I don't know if he plans on starting too many freshmen next year, but I think that's where we're at with Arkansas. So it's a good selling tool. If you've got some receivers that are going to early enroll mm-hmm. and let them know that they're going to be playing with a star. So, yeah, that's a big get for Arkansas.
Yeah, Shane, let me tell you, there's going to be damn freshmen at every position, yeah. except for quarterback, it sounds like. So, this is desperately needed. But, hell, Shane, they've got a five-star tight end committed. They've got, like, three or four four-star receivers.
Yeah.
They got some guys coming in. So
this tight end, who's his brother?
Hunter Henry, the Chargers tight end.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, what a stud.
Yeah, they're saying he's the real deal. So, I mean, that guy is probably going to be pretty good, and you got all these other guys. I mean, I think we're finally going to start to see this offense. Obviously, it's not going to be that great because it's a lot of freshmen, mm-hmm. but I think we're finally going to see the seeds being planted of what this can become. And, hell, if they do, you know, get a big-time young quarterback, develop with those guys, hopefully that offense gets going, and it's really fun to see in a season or two.
I did hear a rumor today that Fields was transferring. Is that true?
That is.
Or did I get punked?
I don't know, Shane. That's out there, and I've heard. I can't confirm this, so this is pure speculation. But the rumor is, Shane, and this kind of knocked me back when I heard it. Justin Fields to Mississippi State.
Mm.
And I was thinking, why in the hell would that doesn't even make sense. But then I was told, you know, there's that connection. He was committed for a long time, Shane, to Penn State.
Yeah.
Under James Franklin. But the coordinator was Joe Moorhead, who's obviously at Mississippi State now. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure that move makes a ton of sense because he'd have to sit out next season.
Yeah.
But, and his sister just signed with Georgia to play, I don't know what sport. I think volleyball or something like that. So I don't know. The pieces may not make sense there, but there's a chance that maybe he's just not happy with how Kirby Smart used him. And it seemed like damn Kirby Smart scapegoated his ass for that fake, that stupid ass fake punt, you know, saying they didn't snap it quick enough and all this.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that's out there. I'm not reporting that, but that's what I
heard.
You know
he's getting it. You know if he's got – I don't know if he's got a Twitter account or Facebook, but you know some diehard Georgia fans are sending him messages right now telling him that he lost the game. And I'm not saying that he did, but, you know, it was there at the end, and we're talking about Fields. So, and plus, why would he want to sit behind Fromm? Because Fromm's clearly above him right now, so – I'm just curious. I mean, obviously he'd have to sit out a year, but I don't know. I don't see him sticking around, man. And it's the heat of the moment too.
Fromm is also, I mean, he's damn on a hot streak. He's kind of showing he's the man. I don't think he's anywhere close to giving up that job, and he's only a damn sophomore. So this is the problem with recruiting back-to-back five stars. We obviously saw Jacob Eason already left.
Yeah.
Justin Fields. Isn't that crazy?
You had Eason, Fromm, and Fields, and then now you probably just have Fromm next year.
Well, I'm not ready to go that far because maybe he just wasn't ready because he was a true freshman. And, yeah. You know, we've seen Tua and Jake Fromm and a couple other guys, Trevor Lawrence for Clemson, come out there and play. But the vast majority of these guys are not ready. I don't care what they say, particularly at the SEC level. It's so damn hard, but I don't know. I'm not, like I said, I'm not reporting this, but I don't know. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Shane, final thing I got here, kind of went along here, but there's updated Heisman odds, and that was the Heisman finalists have been announced, Shane. No surprises. Tua, Kyler Murray, Oklahoma quarterback, and Dwayne Haskins, the Ohio State quarterback. And Tua was a heavy favorite all season, and even this morning he was a favorite, and by afternoon the odds had completely flipped. Kyler, whatever the fuck his name is, Murray, he is minus 160, Tua is plus 120. So what that basically means, if for those that are not out there gambling, is basically Kyle Murray is twice as likely to win it as Tua at this point, which I find to be crazy. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, this is all about the championship games. And I don't think when you're doing a Heisman vote, I don't think you should be looking at one game. You should look at body of work. And Tua, the whole season was clear-cut number one. Did he struggle in the SEC championship? Absolutely. Did Kyler do great? Yes. Kyler went 25 for 34, 379, three touchdowns. Plus, he had 39 yards rushing. So, he was the reason that they won that game. So, I don't know. If you're looking at a Heisman, is it a numbers thing? I mean, if you're looking at numbers, you got to put Tua in. Or is it what happened when it was a big game thing? Because then, I don't know, then you start questioning because Kyler, like I said, if they didn't have Kyler, they would have lost that game. If Alabama didn't have Tua, Jalen would win the game, you know? So, right. I don't know. It's just that game couldn't go any worse for Tua and his chance to get a Heisman. And that's big. That's huge because Alabama's never had a quarterback win a Heisman.
Yeah, Shane, I think you hit the nail on the head there. And I think maybe just because we're so biased with SEC that, you know, that's what we watch. But I feel like every damn game Tua's played was a big game. Well, not every game, but, you know, A&M, LSU, Tennessee, Mississippi State, Auburn. These were nationally televised games. And he just ripped all those defenses apart. But I guess there's a difference of just playing, you know, the SEC game of the week and playing on a SEC championship with the nation watching and just kind of falling on your face. Because he really was, I mean, some of it was the receivers, you know, they dropping balls and all that. But he really did look average at best in that Georgia game. Maybe that does cost him. But I've also heard this, Shane. There's so many damn Heisman voters. I think there's like 1,000. I think there's about 1,000, and I think it's going to come down to who voted early, because I think if they voted early, they all voted for Tua. I mean, I think just a week or two ago, I asked you, Shane, we didn't even ask who was going to win the Heisman. We asked what percentage of the damn votes, first place votes he was going to get. We were at like 80 or 90.
Yeah.
So I think those votes are going to carry Tua to this thing. I don't care what the odds say. I think Tua wins it based on the early votes that are in, and whether that's right or wrong, they probably shouldn't be allowed to vote until after all the games are done. But I think there's a lot of support coming in for the Oklahoma quarterback. But in the end, I still think Tua wins by a slim margin.
Yeah, I mean, they should at least wait till the first playoff game to decide. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If you're trying to decide if it should be Tua or Kyler, then let's watch them play first before we have this vote. I'm kind of that's one thing I've never liked about the Heisman. I think the Heisman should end when the season is over, because there's still a lot to play for, and a Heisman is a true candidate that is the best player in the country. And how can you determine that when they haven't played the biggest game yet? Of course, like I said, I think Georgia was their biggest game, but they still got a playoff game and potentially a national championship to play for. So play those games, and then we decide who's the Heisman. I think they pull the trigger on this thing too early.
Well, I'll tell you why they do it, Shane, and this is a stupid-ass reason, so I'm not disagreeing with you, but here's the real reason. There's no football on Saturday outside of the Army-Navy game,
mm-hmm.
So there's nothing going on Saturday night. There's no football, and that's when they can maximize the damn TV broadcast and just the attention they get around it. And that's my understanding of why they keep it right where they are. And
it's all about the money.
It's stupid, but that's what I understand. That's why.
That makes sense. But yeah, don't forget, money runs this whole thing. So they'll never change it now that you told me that.
All right, Shane, I think that's going to do it for this one. You got anything before we jump off here?
No, just appreciate everybody hanging out with us today. I know I got a lot of messages and tweets, people wanting to figure out who's the coach, and you really dove into that, and I appreciate your effort there, and appreciate all the listeners taking their time to hang out with us, and especially ones that get on iTunes and give us a 5-star heart and a review. It really does help us out a lot.
All right, Shane, that's going to do it. Thanks for joining me as always. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go Vols.